Welcome to Kings County. I'm Kurt Anderson from Galapagos Art Space in Brooklyn. A full evening of music and comedy miraculously packed into a single hour of radio. Coming up, tonight's co-host, blogger, and actress Francesca Ramsey. Comedian Kurt Brownoler, host of the new IFC game show Bunk. Musicians Sean Lennon and Charlotte Kemp Mole performing as Ghost of a Saber-Toothed Tiger. And our regular Gay Stuff segment featuring our gay news commentator, the gay writer, Paul Rudnick. Plus, audience contests, malicious stunts, and this week's story about life in the city, apartment hunting. That's all coming up on Kings County from WNYC. But first, the news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Dave Mattingly. UN Special Envoy Kofi Annan says mass killings should not become part of the everyday reality in the NBA's Eastern Conference Finals. NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports the former UN Secretary General still has hopes for the international peace plan he negotiated after Miami beat Boston last night.
Speaking to the UN General Assembly, Kofi Annan said his six-point peace plan is not being implemented.
Clearly, all parties must cease.
Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.
I am Kurt Anderson, and of course, we will have more news later. Welcome to Kings County. That right there is our musical director, Eli Bolin. Hello, Eli.
Glad to be here, Kurt.
Let me start by apologizing, really, for hogging more than my fair share of public radio airtime. I've already got this weekly show called Studio 360, but Studio 360, yeah, thank you. But why do I get to do this other show as well? Two reasons. First, because I've lived in Brooklyn since before you could get taxis to bring you here from Manhattan. Back when the word artisanal was used exclusively to describe things imported from Europe. And this show is about Brooklyn, not just the city we're in, but the spirit of Brooklyn, that spirit that has spread and proliferated and infected cities all over America. And second reason I get to do this show is because I grew up in Nebraska. There is a little-known FCC regulation requiring that some guy over 40 from Nebraska, a white guy, has to host a broadcast variety show at all times. Fortunately, the rules have nothing at all to say about co-hosts. So, not a guy, not from Nebraska, not white, not over 40, one of the most charming and talented people I know, my co-host for Kings County, Ms. Francesca Ramsey.
What's up, Galapagos? So there is a huge lake in the middle here.
There is this big lake, and one of our guests actually already stepped in it just to prove that it was a lake. Now, Francesca, you do about 20 different things with your life. It seems like
true.
A joke, but it's true. You do amazing numbers of things. Most people probably know you from this extraordinary YouTube video that you put up earlier this year, White Girls Say to Black Girls.
Yeah, same name, except without the bleep sound.
Right, and what's it about?
Well, as tonight's audience can see, I am actually black. It might be hard to tell on the radio. A lot of people like to tell me I sound like a white girl.
And the video you just...
Yeah, so I talked about my experience as being the token black chick pretty much my entire life.
Well, let's watch a little bit of it.
Yeah.
Not to sound racist, but kind of feels like Cheetos.
He could get it.
Oh my God, I'm practically black. Twinsies!
That one kind of looks like you.
Boom, ba-doom, boom, boom, ba-doom, boom, face.
My best friend was black. I mean, she's still black, and we're not really friends anymore.
Hey, do you know a Tyrone Jenkins? He just requested me. I don't know, he's black.
We've given the audience here at Galapagos a taste of what it's like to experience that video on radio as well. But it is because, of course, the video didn't work. But it is it's a very, very funny piece of work. I laugh at it the eighth time I hear it. How did this happen?
So I'm from South Florida. Like I said, I'm the token black girl at my job and with my friends. And, you know, after seeing Shit Girls Say get so popular and Shit Black Girls Say, I thought, how can I put my own spin on it? And my spin was just kind of talk about some of the not so politically correct things that people say when it comes to being the black chick in the group.
Who tells you that you sound white, though? Is it just...
It's
white people?
No, it's actually usually black people. I've had family members. They're like, why you talk like that? People on the street, people on the internet love to remind me that I'm actually black. They remind me all the time.
And you're convinced of that now?
Yeah, I've really kind of come to terms with it.
This video, amazingly, as we found you, as we discovered you, has 9 million views on YouTube. 9 million.
And half of those comments are reminding me that I'm black.
Well, there you go.
People might also know me from my work as a People.com red carpet reporter
from the 16th
Annual Primetime Emmy Awards.
You were on air greeting television stars as they lost Emmys, I guess.
Yeah.
But I actually, I really wanted to talk about some other part of
my extensive portfolio as a graphic designer.
You are a graphic designer. And,
yeah.
And some of my best friends are graphic designers. That's great. But our first guest on Kings County is a very funny and very tall person who seems to be on pretty much every TV channel all the time right now. Not just Bob's Burgers on Fox, but Adult Swim, Comedy Central, MTV. And this summer, he is the host of his own new comedy game show called Bunk. It airs Friday nights on IFC. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Kurt Braunohler.
Thank you, Eli.
You're welcome, Kurt.
Hello, everyone. Hello. Okay, so this is a show about Brooklyn, so I want to talk about the subway. Guys, yeah, there was just a person yelling, yeah, for the subway. Right now, there is an ad in the New York City subway that just says, 2 drinks ago, you could have gotten home. And then it's just a photo of a woman asleep on the stairs going into the subway. I love us, New York City. New York City just wants you to stop 2 drinks before you randomly fall asleep on a hard, irregular surface. Like, she doesn't even make it into the subway. She's like, is it not raining? I'm going to bed. I think the ad would be better, though, if it said 2 drinks ago you could have gotten home, and then it was a series of photos of her, like, waking up at Coney Island, and her waking up in Flushing, Queens, and her waking up in Coney Island again, and her waking up on the air train. Like, how did she transfer? And her waking up on a flight to Belgium, like, where did she get her passport from? She should have stopped 2 drinks ago. Also, I like it when you're on the subway and you're sitting in the 2 seats that have the map directly behind you, and someone comes and starts to just stare 2 inches above your eyes, or like sits like this with their crotch in your face and just like, like, just studies that map. Like, there are some secrets in there. And I like to do that, but I do that to people who are sitting in front of an advertisement. And I'll just stare at it for a long time and finally say, this map makes no sense! I'm getting off at Dr. Zizmore! And then I just skip out the door. I've also living in New York, I think a lot of people become, like myself, have become obsessed with misconnections. Like, just assuming every moment is a misconnection. Like, if I make passing eye contact with a woman on the street, I'd be like, ah! Like, anything to mark it in her mind so she'll go home and write about it on Misconnections. And I've never had a misconnection written about me. So what I've been doing is I've just been writing misconnections. I've been actually responding to misconnections I wish were about me. And I'd like to share one with you now. This one was entitled, "Seen you on Brighton Beach with your uniform." I think she meant uniform. "Hey, I'm looking for a friend. I think your name is Alex. I seen you a long time ago on Brighton Beach. You were wearing your uniform. And then, later, I've seen you somewhere else. Right back!" So I did. "Hey, it's me, Alex. That time long ago at Brighton Beach was so special. And then, again, at somewhere else? Forget about it, I loved it. I've got a new uniform. I'd love to show it to you." And she wrote back, "How do I know it's you?" And I just wrote, "Look under your bed." No response from that one so far. But I've been doing this thing where I write all of my stand-up on these kind of giant poster-sized Post-it notes. And so when you walk into the first room of my apartment, it's covered in my writing. And my friend Albertina came over the other night, and she was like, "You can't bring a woman back here because you look like the Unabomber." And I was like, "What are you talking about? These are all funny jokes." And she said, "It just says here, do bad decisions exist, ? And I was like, "That's a funny joke." She's like, "No, that's a crazy person thought." But this was her idea. She said, "You know what would be funny is if you wrote on your wall, list of people I need to kill, and then had 8 names with the first one crossed off." And I was like, "That is funny." So I did that. And then I thought it would be even funnier if I wrote the last name just said random. And so flash forward like 3 months, and I have finally convinced a young lady to come back to my apartment with me. And as I'm putting the key in the door, I remember that I have a list of people I need to kill on my wall that needs some explaining. The door opens, she sees it, she kind of freezes. I go into repair mode. I'm like, "Oh, this is a joke." I talk her down, but then I just can't help myself. And I slowly cross off random. She left. She totally left. But I called her a car. I waited outside with her. I was like, "You gotta admit, it's pretty funny. I committed to that bit." And she was like, "I should have left 2 drinks ago." Thanks a lot, guys.
Kurt Brownoler, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Kings County with Kurt Anderson, and I'm Francesca Ramsey.
Right away, we're going to introduce you to Sean Lennon and Charlotte Kent Moll.
Oh, wait, hold on a second. Kurt, does the show have a tagline?
A tagline for, you mean, Kings County tagline? We don't really have one,
The only reason I asked is I just got a tweet about it, and I didn't know what to say.
Well, do you have any ideas? What do you think it should be?
I'm thinking Kings County, a celebration of Francesca Ramsey with 2 guys named Kurt.
It's possible that some of the future episodes won't have multiple Kurts.
Okay, how about Kings County, affordable for 3 more years, tops?
Number one, I don't know about 3 years, and number two, that's really more of a tagline for the borough than the show. You know, a tagline. It has to be pithy and uplifting, maybe, and, you know, just do it, or don't leave home without it, or pork, the new white meat.
Wow, that's like a haiku about Mad Men. I mean, aren't there supposed to be like big-time branding experts that come up with taglines?
Not in Brooklyn, not in DIY 21st century Brooklyn, and not on public radio budgets. In fact, why don't we have the audience come up with our tagline here and now tonight? You know, crowdsource it. Yes, will you do that? I'm serious. So you'll watch the show. As you're watching the show, you'll decide here's what your tagline should be. And Kurt Brownoler actually will now pass out some cards to the audience. So during for the next 45 minutes, you can noodle and figure out the correct tagline.
I did not sign up for this part, Kurt.
So, audience, write down one perfect tagline for the show. Remember, six words or less. And at the end of the program tonight, we will give a prize, actually prizes, to whoever comes up with the best ones.
This is not the way I treat my guests at Hot Tub, Kurt.
Have fun. And now, on to our next guests. Ladies and gentlemen, Sean Lennon and Charlotte Kemp Moore. Sean, you've been a working musician since you were a kid, really, and you still play with Chibo Matto, the great band. Yes. You've done work with Lenny Kravitz, the Beastie Boys, Albert Hammond Jr. How did this start? I mean, did you come from a musical family?
Well, actually, I have a twice-removed cousin who once had tea with Engelbert Humperdinck.
So, what are you guys going to play first?
This is our smash hit, Jardin du Luxembourg.
All right, well, Kings County, let's welcome Ghost of a Sabertooth Tiger.
Though you can't intimidate the trees, snowman sweating in a terrible heat, put on your new pants and move out to France. All the skeletons in your closet, rummaging through your clothes, looking through your shoeboxes and pockets. The rappers and dumb love known. People say your brain is acting cheap. Anything you please, the dust from the trails under your fingernails, the leaves in the locks in the garden showing their true colors, they're blushing, they're begging your pardon, 'cause man's a jealous lover. I recall first time that you passed me by,
and I saw
my demise in your stained eyes. The dust from the trails under your fingernails, showing their true colors, they're blushing, they're begging your pardon, 'cause man's a jealous lover. Canary singing through the calico trees, everything's exactly what it
That was Sean Lennon and Charlotte Kemp Moore, the Ghost of a Sabertooth Tiger.
And we have barely gotten started. Coming up are random Brooklynites and other New Yorkers speaking foreign languages, a gay person, stories about real estate, more Kurt Brownoler, more Sean Lennon, more Charlotte Kemp Moore, and God knows what else.
From WNYC, this is Kings County, the show that doesn't have a tagline yet.
We are working on that, and we'll be right back. From WNYC in New York, I'm Kurt Anderson.
And I'm Francesca Ramsey. Welcome back to Kings County.
So, Francesca, I understand you're a convicted felon.
That is not true.
Oh, you got it knocked down to a misdemeanor?
No.
But at one time, you did live a life of crime.
No, I was 16, and I got caught shoplifting. And if getting caught shoplifting isn't bad enough, I got caught stealing a deck of tarot cards from a New Age shop. I was really into The Craft. Do you guys remember that movie? I wanted to be the black girl, like, in The Coven. I mean, I thought that I might be a witch. And, I mean, if you have a hidden talent for sorcery, you're not going to pay $30 for a deck of tarot cards. I mean, that's kind of expensive. So I just decided that I would slip the tarot cards in my purse and walk out. So I beeped as soon as I went through, and I did the, oh, maybe it's my phone, or maybe it's my jeans. I don't know why I'm beeping. And the shopkeeper was totally not buying it. She was like this over 40 hippies chick. She had like dream catcher earrings and a nose ring and henna tattoos. She was pretty much the textbook example of cultural appropriation. And she just kept saying, you know, this is going to change your life. This is a good experience for you, which really meant that she had already called the cops. So the cop shows up, and he asks me, so did you actually steal? And I said, yes, I attempted to steal a deck of tarot cards. And he looks at me and says, bet you didn't see that in your future. Now, this was probably the highlight of his freaking career. I mean, he was so proud of himself. I would not be surprised if right now he's at his retirement party celebrating and toasting with all of his buddies about that time that he busted that 16-year-old kid stealing tarot cards. It was a really big deal for him. So because I was a minor, they took me to the Juvenile Assessment Center, which is where they basically decide what kind of kid you are and what your punishment is going to be and if charges are going to be pressed. So I sat down with a female cop, and she sits there and interviews me. She asks me, do you like school? Yes, I love school. What kind of student are you? I'm an A and B student. What about your parents? We really get along. And she's looking at me like, what the heck are you doing here? Then she asks me, now, when was the last time that you had sex? I'm a virgin? She's freaking out. She's like, hold on one second. She brings in another cop. She's like, can you tell her what you just told me? I'm a virgin. Yeah, I was the first shoplifting virgin ever. Yeah, I think that's actually going to be the name of my band if I ever start one. Shoplifting Virgins. And I mean, to me, I thought that I was a textbook virgin. I mean, I got caught shoplifting tarot cards, and I reeked of patchouli. I mean, I'm not really the type of girl that guys are going for. So then what was really horrible was having to call my mom and tell her that I had gotten caught shoplifting. And you know, teenage girls and their parents are always fighting. My mom's a single parent, and we had just been going through a really good spot. So I called her, and she's like, hi, honey, how's it going? What's going on? I got caught shoplifting, and you have to pick me up. And instead of freaking out and getting really upset, she did the worst thing a parent could do. I'm so disappointed. She came and picked me up, and she didn't say anything. It was awful. We walked back to the car in silence. And then I got my punishment. I had to complete a shoplifting workbook. And I had to go to a shoplifting seminar. Now, the workbook consisted of 10 cassette tapes that you had to listen to and answer questions about shoplifting. Like, shoplifting is A, bad, B, okay, because the item is too expensive, or C, really cool because all of my friends are doing it. I had to listen to these tapes on the way to school with my mom. And can you believe that people actually fail this workbook? So then the second part of my sentence was I had to go to a shoplifting seminar, and I was absolutely mortified. So I'm half shielding my face and scoping out the room, and I realize I know two people in the shoplifting class, the only white people in the class. I'm like, I know you guys, what's going on? This is awesome. So then we all have to go around and tell what we shoplifted. And there are some bad kids. I mean, 10-year-olds that have gotten arrested for Grand Theft Auto, selling their sister and brother for crack. I mean, everyone's stories are really bad. So they get to me, and I decide to lie. I said that I stole a CD. I stole a Mace CD, which in retrospect is really embarrassing because Mace, like, is an awful rapper. Like, his style is so slow, and then he, like, left rap. Like, now he's, like, a pastor or something now. Like I don't even know. It was awful. I was so embarrassed. And at the time, I could never have imagined that I would be standing on stage in front of a room full of people and now on the radio telling people about my shoplifting experience. I never saw that in my future.
Francesca Ramsey. I was a virgin shoplifter myself.
Really?
I was. At about 12 years old, I'd gotten very into photography, and I'd built my own little dark room in the basement. And that was back in the day when we had film, of course, and developed pictures, and I had an enlarger, but I wanted a super duper sort of turbocharged enlarger. I need these special filters. So I went to this department store where they had these special filters and with a big winter coat, and it was like, you know, it wasn't summer, but winter coat was not the wear of the season. And I found this thing, this it was $20 then, which is, I don't know, $1,000 now. And I stuck this box of filters and just walked out and got away with it, and that was it. Never shoplifted again. I thought, okay, I got away with it once, I won't do it again. But then, weirdly, for no good reason, because I could afford to buy a pen, my freshman year in college, I was in the college bookstore and just decided to stick a pen in my pocket, and that's when I got nabbed. And it was terrifying, and they, you know, called my parents and called the college, and weirdly, my college roommate was with me. He, without any premeditation on our parts, had stolen a pen as well, and they got him as well. So there we are, sitting in the little college bookstore, security office, and he said, oh my God, he was more terrified than I was. He went back to our room, immediately called a lawyer that he knew in Kansas City where he grew up. And 10 years later, Francesca, I swear, that lawyer's daughter became my wife.
Whoa.
It was like, I got away with it, but then I got caught. And then I kind of, sort of, met the woman
again.
I married through that. It really made me believe in God. Not really, but, you know, kind of.
Hey, guys, I've got a story, too.
Kurt Brownoler is back.
That's why I travel with my microphone stand wherever I go. I once drunkenly stole 25 pounds of pork loin because I thought it was Canadian bacon.
Eli, shoplifting story from your youth?
I once stole a loaf of bread to save my sister's child.
I don't believe that. Now, as you know, Brooklyn prides itself, among other things, and New York prides itself on being a melting pot of diverse nationalities. There are literally hundreds of different languages spoken by native speakers here. So, let's see what you know about the people around you. This is a game we call Tongue Skills. And Kurt Brownoler, tonight you'll be playing Tongue Skills to win a signed copy of my brand new novel, True Believers, against a member of our audience. Francesca, who's our contestant?
Tonight's contestant is Emily. Come on out.
Hi,
Welcome, Emily.
Thank you.
You're sure your name's not Erica?
It's Erica.
Oh, welcome, we'll Erica. Pretend it's Emily.
I'm listening, okay?
Both start with E.
No, no, no. I get it. My
thank goodness
name
it's
is
a
Erica.
Dry erase board. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So, my lovely hostess, Francesca Ramsey, will change the name on the scorekeeping board so it reflects your actual name, which is, of course, Erica. Let's get to the chase. We're going to play an audio clip of an actual New Yorker, and for 1 point, each of you, you, Erica, and you, Kurt Brandoler, each of you will try to identify the language they're speaking. Okay?
Okay.
First clip.
Nunca encuentro parqueo en mi calle. Tengo que estacionar mi carro cerca de un montón de fábricas, lo cual me hace preocupar por mi carro.
Erica?
Spanish?
Kurt Brandoler?
I would say Spanish as well, Kurt.
Francesca?
The language was Spanish. Espanol. Spanish.
That's 1 point, Erica. 1 point, Kurt. Let's hear what she was saying.
I can never find a parking space on my block. I have to park 2 blocks away near a bunch of factories, which makes me worry about my car.
She's a New Yorker. Round two. Here's the clip.
Arabamı değiştirmek zorundayım her salı ve cuma. Eğer yapmak zorunda değilsem biraz kafa karıştırıcı.
Erica, what's that language?
Russian?
Good guess. Kurt Brandoler, what also, language is that New Yorker speaking?
That is Russian.
Francesca.
He was actually speaking Turkish, Kurt.
Yes.
Turkish. Turkish.
But Turkey borders on Russia, so I'm going to give them each a point.
I'm always just going to say whatever Erica says. I'm terrified of this game.
Now, Kurt and Erica, what was that man saying in Turkish?
Honey, it's time to take out the poodle for a walk to go to the bathroom.
I didn't expect to like a leather couch. I thought my back would stick to it, but you know what? It's been a really pleasant experience this summer.
Both heroic attempts. Let's hear what that man was saying.
I have to switch my car every Tuesday and Friday, except when I don't have to. It's very confusing.
Erica, 2 points. Kurt Brandoler, 2 points. We've got a tie. The final round is coming up. Clip, please.
Moje mieszkanie jest małe i hałaśliwe, ale obawiam się, że jeśli się przeprowadzę, będzie o wiele gorzej.
Kurt Brandoler, the language.
I'm first now. What about, remember when she was first, Kurt? And she would give a guess that I could try and jump on.
Keeps it fun.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to say that that's deep southern Urdu.
Erica?
Portuguese?
Francesca?
That was actually Polish. Polski. Polish.
Not a fan.
Let's hear what she was saying.
My apartment is small and noisy, but if I moved, I'm worried that it could be a lot worse.
That she said all of that in that short sentence?
I swear. Now, Francesca, we have a winner?
It looks like we have a tie. We've got 2 points for Erica and 2 points for Kurt.
No losers on Kings County. Thank you both for playing tongue skills. And to take us out, as always, here's a French speaker from Cameroon complaining about alternate side of the street parking as well.
Je dois échanger ma voiture tous les mardis et vendredis. Exceptionnellement, quand je ne dois pas le faire, ça me rend très confus. I have to switch my car every Tuesday and Friday, except when I don't have to. It's very confusing.
And another big hand for Erica as well. Before we continue, I have a confession to make. I'm straight. A lifelong heterosexual. As are many of the people here tonight, I presume. Which is why we felt we needed a regular segment on Kings County to deal with gay stuff. To help us, please welcome the incredibly talented gay writer of gay-themed plays and movies, also of hilarious pieces for the New Yorker magazine, and also the man behind the Libby Gelman Waxner column every month in Entertainment Weekly, Mr. Paul Rudnick. So let's go ahead and talk about some gay stuff.
Why not?
What's been on your mind?
Well, the thing that's been fascinating me is kind of the evolution of the closet. The way now, if you want to stay in any kind of closet, you can either go for the John Travolta public meltdown version, the kind of constant caution of the Anderson Cooper glass closet, or my favorite new guy. He's a blogger named Josh Weed.
And his blog that's the real name?
That's
Josh
his
Weed?
Real name. And his blog is called The Weed, but he is a devout Mormon. And he is a self-proclaimed marriage and family therapist. And in this blog, he has recently come out. He's been married for 10 years, but he says he is completely gay and has the most deliriously happy marriage to a woman, to his wife, Lolly. And he just extols this marriage. He begins by referring to Mormonism as the Lord's organizational unit.
When he came out as gay out of this incredibly heterosexual world in which he lived, I mean, in what sense is he gay? Does he practice?
No, he says he knew he was gay since he was a child, but he also wanted to was such a devout Mormon and so believes in Mormon principles that he realized the only way to reconcile these beliefs was to admit he was gay and yet to be married.
And what does he talk about the sexual congress that he has
yes.
with his...
Yes, he says that the reason why he and his wife Lolly have such frequent and deeply satisfying sex is because they have eliminated infatuation, obsession, and passion. So this is his solution to a long and happy marriage. And they've got three great young kids. He also mentions, although he tries to be very lighthearted about this, that his wife, Lolly, on both their first date and their wedding night, vomited.
So that sounds like fiction, but it is absolutely nonfiction. True. What about the new fictional gay person, which is to say the Green Lantern, or as you corrected me as we were talking backstage, one of the Green Lanterns.
Yes, one of the Green Lanterns. There is the Green Lantern One, whose name is Alan Scott, who was back from about 40 or 50 years ago when the character was first introduced. And then there's Green Lantern Two, who is Hal Jordan, who is the character played by Ryan Reynolds in the recent Green Lantern movie. Green Lantern One, Alan Scott, has been brought back, is now happily and proudly gay, and along with another terrific comic book hero named Northstar, who's about to get married to his partner.
So this is like what Joe Biden was talking about the other month with how popular culture helps the world embrace gayness.
And I think teenage boys are a much tougher demographic for gay matters than the Will and Grace crowd or the Glee fan base.
And now here in New York City, the odds are that we're about to have a gay mayor or a lesbian mayor. Can you call lesbians gay? You can, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Not when they can hear you, but...
will that make the lives of gay people better?
Well, I personally adore Christine Quinn. I think she is so smart. She's
going to
be
her?
A fantastic mayor. I have met her. Yeah, she is just the best. And one of the great side benefits of having Christine Quinn as our mayor would be how much it would upset Archbishop Dolan. You know, because we would have a mayor who happened to be an Irish Catholic, but who was a lesbian.
And who really looks like a New York Irish Catholic.
Oh, she did. Well, she's in that great tradition of mayors people who really could only be the mayor of New York. Like, you know, our current wonderful little billionaire Jewish leprechaun, you know? And Chris, the reason why I have issues with Archbishop Dolan is first because he's prejudiced and divisive, but even more than that, he thinks he's a fun guy. And that's what really gets me. He's always joshing about his dieting and the Mets and stuff. And it's kind of like he says, you know, I hate gay people, but I love potato chips. and you kind of think, no, you don't get to be both. You don't get to be a fun bigot.
So... but you in everyday life, you find the gay, like in, say, Home Shopping.
Oh, yes, this is my current gay hero, because when I was watching Home Shopping, even though almost all of the male hosts on Home Shopping seem to be gay, but I think there are still boundaries. I've never heard one refer to his partner or his husband. But I was watching a show where they were selling what they call on Home Shopping Tiffany-style lighting, which is very popular. It's all that stained glass lamps and chandeliers that seem like they're from 70s singles bars, but are back in a big way. And this host was the sweetest man. He was a little chubby, and all you really need to know is he was wearing a bright red mock turtleneck. So he starts talking...
Wait, that's gay?
Oh, no. Kurt, anytime that... No. Okay. And he... So he started talking about how Tiffany-style lighting could appeal to anyone, and he got a little personal. And he said that he had two brothers, and he said one of his, who would all enjoy this stuff, he said one of his brothers was a brilliant athlete who was always setting records and getting recruited for teams and for colleges. He said then he had another brother who was a brilliant scientist who was always publishing papers and who was always getting into graduate programs. And then he said, and I was, and he took this long pause as he searched, and he said, and I was creative and emotional. I've decided, which I just found sort of touching in a way, and I somehow wanted to put it somewhere on my tax return. You know, now that you could come out by saying, Mom, Dad, I have something to tell you, I'm creative and emotional.
Paul Rudnick, will you come back and talk about gay stuff with us for other shows?
I'd be delighted.
Paul Rudnick, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hey, Francesca. You're back.
Yes, I am back. And you know what?
What?
This is a variety show, and I just feel like we really need to mix it up. And, you know, I do sing.
Professionally?
Yeah, well, I mean, in my spare time. And I really want to sing now.
Well, I guess that's a co-hostess prerogative, and we've got a few minutes. So... what do you want to sing?
I also do musical impressions.
Really?
Yeah.
Like whom?
Well, I've been told that I do a really good Billie Holiday.
Really? Well, mm-hmm. I want to hear it. So, ladies and gentlemen, Francesca Ramsey.
Summertime, and the living is easy. Fish are jumping, and the cotton is high.
That was fantastic.
Thank you.
That was amazing.
Thank you.
One current song that I actually like a lot is that song, Call Me Maybe.
Oh my gosh, I love that song. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay, I can totally do this.
Okay, Carly Rae, yeah, right?
Got it.
Go.
Hey, I just met you. And this is crazy. So here's my number. So call me maybe. It's hard to look right at you, baby. So here's my number. So call me maybe.
Okay. This is Kings County. I'm Kurt Anderson, and we will be right back with lots more. Welcome back. It's me, Kurt Anderson, here with my co-host, Francesca Ramsey, and you're listening to Kings County. But first, the news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. The growth of the economy has slowed in the first quarter more than previously estimated. The Commerce Department says the gross domestic product, the value of all goods and services produced, has slowed in the first quarter more than 133,000% from January through March. That's down from the previous quarter. Economist Hugh Johnson cites a number of reasons.
There's constant government spending. There's constant federal government spending as well as state and local government spending.
Two separate reports out today indicate ongoing sluggish growth in employment. Congressional Republicans have wasted no time in blaming Russia. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is set for a return to Earth after a mission to the International Space Station. A NASA communicator in Houston says Clinton's rockets will be fired in about 40 minutes to ease the ongoing violence in Syria.
It is a 100-meter-per-second burn. The trunk, which is the bottom half where the solar arrays are currently attached, will be jettisoned.
U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Susan Rice says Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is expected to splash down in the Pacific at midday. Rice says it could lead to a deep hole in the region. The companies that made contaminated trailers that were used to house NPR's Debbie Elliott have agreed to an expanded class action settlement. NPR's Debbie Elliott has more.
A court filing shows that about two dozen companies are willing to pay more than $37 to resolve lawsuits over fumes in FEMA trailers used 5 million times. Debbie Elliott is considered a carcinogen. Government tests found levels that were five times higher than average home exposure. Debbie Elliott, NPR News.
On Wall Street, the Dow is down 133,000 points. This is NPR News from Washington.
For the next thing, we want everybody, all our guests, to come up here and help. Kurt Brownoler, Sean Lennon, Charlotte, Paul Rudnick, come on. And yes, of course, Francesca Ramsey, my co-host. So, my first dozen years as a New Yorker, I visited Brooklyn exactly twice. Once for a party, and once when I got high and walked across the Brooklyn Bridge. Why would I ever come here? In the 1980s, no one I knew lived in Brooklyn. Cab drivers wouldn't take you here.
Sorry, pal, I'm off duty. Honk, honk.
Sure, there was BAM. And they might be giants. But a happening music scene, an art scene, cool bars, innovative restaurants in Brooklyn? You gotta be kidding. But then at age 35, I suddenly found that I was living with three other people, two of them infants, in a tiny East Village apartment. My wife and I discussed the suburbs.
Out of the question! We might as well relocate to Omaha!
That really sounds nothing like my wife.
She wasn't available. Just go with it.
Where were we?
Out of the question! We might as well relocate to Omaha!
So how about, you know, like maybe Brooklyn? When we moved into Carroll Gardens in 1990.
Where we still live.
Anyway, back then, it was maybe 80% Italian-American in Carroll Gardens. I became friendly with a neighborhood guy about my age named Frank, who gave me a lift some mornings into Manhattan in his big old Cadillac Eldorado. On one of those early drives, he asked me,
"So, what do you do? What's your job? You don't dress up?"
I'm a writer.
A writer? You busting my balls? You ride, so you're a writer? Like horses or something? Motorbikes?
No, a writer. I write things. Magazine articles, TV shows, books. What do you do, Frank?
One thing and another. Buying, selling, this and that. You know how it is. Hey, you know what we call you? People in the neighborhood?
What you call me?
Well, not you, but these new people like you. We call you the liberals.
Yuppie was still a fairly new word in 1990. Plus, Frank told me, he didn't care for it.
I don't care for it.
Sometime during the next decade, Frank disappeared, off to do this and that somewhere else. You know how it is. As the years went by, more and more of the Franks moved out of Carroll Gardens. In fact, I can pinpoint the exact tipping point. It was 1997, November, Election Day. I'd gone to my polling place as usual, and standing right in front of me were a young couple, I'm guessing Oberlin College class of 92 and Cooper Union class of 93. Bickering.
Ugh. What do you mean Garamond is kitschy? Garamond is gorgeous.
That's when I realized public arguments about typefaces, a definite leading indicator for gentrification.
Garamond? I mean, maybe for signage, but put a drop shadow under it and you're halfway to zap dingbats.
Every previous time I'd voted, pretty much everyone except me was a retired longshoreman or the widow or cousin of a retired longshoreman. But this time, suddenly, half the voters were dressed in black, and most of the people wearing unfashionable eyewear were now doing so ironically. So now it's 2012, and the second of those two baby girls, the ones who prompted our move across the East River all those years ago, has graduated from college. The girls are, well...
I work for a website about food.
I'm about to start working for a design firm.
They're Brooklynites. Anyway, this spring the two girls wanted to find an apartment of their own to live in together. And so, just as decades ago, I found myself perpetually migrating further east to a place I both wanted to live and could afford, or, as my fictional wife put it,
from Nebraska to Greenwich Village, from the West Village to the East Village, from the East Village to Carroll Gardens, next stop, Portugal.
We went apartment hunting with the girls in parts of Brooklyn people like their mother and me didn't go to 20 years ago.
Hey, how you doing? Great to meet you, Carl.
It's Kurt, actually. Their real estate broker was a 25-year-old guy I'll call Vincent. He told us he'd been stabbed 6 times.
But actually, 4 of those stabbings happened during a single attack, so it's not as impressive as it sounds.
I'd say even more impressive when you...
Hold on, let me take this call. Yeah, I'm gonna have to call you back. I'm showing some apartments to Carl. He's a writer.
A writer, actually.
I don't know. Horses or something. I didn't ask him.
So the kids tell Vincent how much rent they want to pay and...
$2,000. Okay, that's doable. Semi-doable. It's quasi-doable, all right? How deep in are you looking to go?
As in, deep into the borough. Well, not too deep, but...
What's the bridge too far? Have we got a red line?
We're really open to anything, just about, as
what
long as...
What I'm trying to say is, what do people like yourselves consider no man's land? Washington Avenue? Nostrand? Hold on a second, Carl.
What Vincent was trying to say was specifically this. Given that my white daughters will be living in a majority black neighborhood, how much of a racial minority, 5%, 40%, are they prepared to be? Vincent showed us apartments everywhere.
So this is East Fort Greene, a fun neighborhood.
No, this is Bed-Stuy.
And where exactly is Far East Williamsburg?
Oh, that's like the fun part of Bushwick.
We finally found a place overlooking the Botanical Garden in Crown Heights.
I prefer to call it Prospect Heights South by Southeast.
Anyway, the day we helped the girls move in and said our goodbyes.
Bye, Dad. Bye, Mom.
Thanks again, Dad. And if you ever want us to do anything for your radio show, just call me. I would definitely do it.
My wife and I walked down Empire Boulevard toward Flatbush, and I told her what I was imagining.
Some profound bullshit, I'm guessing.
No, I was just thinking that maybe sometime this fall, some middle-aged guy, a father who moved to Crown Heights a decade ago because it was cheap and authentic and welcoming, he'll be walking down this same block, and maybe he'll overhear two young women arguing about Ariel versus Helvetica, and he'll...
Yeah, I get it. Get that taxi.
Where you going?
Taxi? East Village?
Manhattan? Sorry, pal, I'm off duty. Honk, honk!
And now it is time for the results of our audience tagline competition. Our third runner-up is Jeff Scher from Dumbo.
Kings County. You got a problem with that?
Our second runner-up is from Alex from Fort Greene.
Kings County. Not all of us have beards.
Our first runner-up is Jenna Hershkowitz from Flatlands, Brooklyn.
Kings County, where all the women are funny, all the men think they look good in V-neck t-shirts, and all the children have social anxiety disorders.
And our winner is Kara Burritt from Brooklyn Heights.
Kings County, locally made and totally worth the schlep. That was awesome, you guys. Those are great, and that does it for the first show. Kings County, locally made and totally worth the schlep, is a production of WNYC. Our executive producers are Steve Bodo and Chris Bannon. Our head writer is Paul Sims. Our senior producer is Joel Meyer. And our audio feature was produced by John Collins. Our technical staff is led by George Wellington, with Paul Schneider, Irene Trudell, Chase Colpon, and Noriko Okabe. Our interns are Alexander Abnos and Zachariah Hughes, and our band is the fearless Eli Bolin and his drummer Zachary Eldridge. Kevin Bartini warmed up the crowd. Special thanks to Galapagos Art Space in Brooklyn's Dumbo District for Francesca Ramsey, the wonderful Francesca Ramsey, and our guests Kurt Brownoler, Paul Rudnick, and the ghost of a saber-toothed tiger. Thanks to all of you for being here. I'm Kurt Anderson. Be sure to join us next time in Kings County. Thank you very much.